Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
I'm very, very well. Thanks, Coach Steve. Very well.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Well, look, Nick, this is episode number 37 of our Challenge Weekly Show. 37. And if you enjoy this episode today, make sure you go check out our 36 other episodes where we talk about everything related to the challenge. We talk about fitness, health, and everything in between. But look, Nick, it's the final week of the August challenge here, week 6. And, you know, like every week, it's an exciting week for us, Nick. We have the final photos coming up this weekend, and it's a great time to really start thinking about, well, what are we going to do over this next week to try to get the best results for the competition? And then what are we going to do moving forward so that we can continue our fitness journey?
Yeah, definitely. We've got to keep our fingers on the pulse this week with both those things.
Absolutely. And I do think that for many individuals, as we get closer to, quote, game day, end quote, and if we're not seeing these results that we wanted to, or we're not seeing the performance that we want to, or we're not just getting to the position that we want to achieve, sometimes we just start throwing everything at it, including the kitchen sink. And I want you to take a moment to reflect on that and just to think, okay, if you are thinking in this last week that, oh, what am I going to do to get the best out of this 6-week period? Well, just remember that, you know, 1 week is just, you know, 1/6 of the way. It's just 15%. You know, nothing magic can happen over this last week to, you know, accelerate your results. And if everything has been working well over the past 5 weeks, there's no point on making these radical changes in this last week because we don't have evidence that that will be successful. For example, if you were about to run a 100-meter sprint and you've been training the exact same way and eating the exact same way, wearing the exact same shoes and the exact same outfit and doing the exact same pre-race ritual, once you come up to game day, there's no point in changing everything and doing something completely drastically different to try to, I don't know, shake things up to get a better result. You'd be better off doing what you know works. And that's very similar within the space that we're in right now. If you have been training a certain way, eating a certain way, and you're looking confident in your appearance to go, okay, well, I'm going to get some really great results come this photo opportunity this weekend, there's no point in trying to change everything up and trying something drastic and new and something that you haven't experimented with in the past, because that can just throw everything out, and that's something that we can't be confident with to get a really good end result. So I just want you to be careful if you start going down rabbit holes such as manipulating water, manipulating salt, manipulating carbohydrates, and all these other like pro bodybuilding approaches to final photos. Sure, there is a little bit of evidence that they can be successful, but they do require practice and lots of tinkering to make it work for you and your body. So just be cautious in this final week.
Yeah, definitely. Because even pro bodybuilders can get it wrong sometimes with coaches and everything. So just keep doing what you're doing. Everyone's doing a really good job and we can't wait to see.
But look, Nick, let's run through some key dates coming up. So the first key date, which will be the challenge liftoff. So the challenge liftoff, we ran our first one last challenge in the May challenge. And our second one here, our challenge liftoff is the squat. So we're inviting you to upload your best attempt on the squat. And that's this weekend coming up from the 7th to the 10th of October. So upload your best effort of the squat onto the challenge Facebook support group, or you can even post it on your Instagram and tag us so that we can see it. And what Nick and I are going to do is we're just going to draw a name out of the hat and we'll send you out a really cool prize. One Max's, one Maxine's, and everyone's welcome of any skill level. And it's not merit-based. It's simply your best effort. So that could be you squatting 20 kilos. That could be you squatting 200 kilos. That could be you doing a single leg squat or just body weight squats, whatever it is, best effort. Give us your best attempt at some squats and celebrate strength this weekend for the challenge liftoff.
Yay.
Yay.
Can't wait.
Then next week, which will be the 11th and the 12th of October, you'll be able to upload your final photos to the challenge website. So don't miss out. Don't get to the 12th of October and it's, you know, 11:30 at night and you're like, oh, well, geez, I wanted to upload my final photos. because the cutoff is at midnight on the 12th of October. That's the Tuesday. So make sure you get those photos uploaded and you'll be able to take your photos now. There is the completion document on the challenge website, also floating around our Facebook support group, where you can actually grab that completion document, take your photo today if you want, or you can wait until maybe this weekend when the challenge wraps up, or you can take it on maybe the 11th or the 12th if you want to, you know, get the last day to upload that final photo there.
Yeah, a little bit of a tip for that. Just start taking photos this week, practice, and also you might then be able to eliminate that thing of, oh, I looked a bit better yesterday. Just take a whole bunch of them and then you can see which one you look best in.
Yeah, I like that. I like that approach. If you took a couple of photos each day over the maybe this weekend in different positions, different lighting, different time of day, you may find that, I don't know, on the Friday afternoon was the best photo compared to, I don't know, that Sunday morning, for example.
Yeah, a day can make a difference just here and there. It depends on so many different factors, so you may as well.
Then once the final photos are uploaded on the 12th, from the 13th, we open up our public voting. So public voting opens from the 13th to the 17th of October. So that's in just a couple of weeks' time. And you will be able to log into the Max and the Maxine, so both challenge websites, and vote for your favorite transformations. You'll have three votes for Max and Maxine. And you can also invite your friends and family to vote as well. They'll just need to create a voting account so that we know that they're a human. You know, because of the days of the digital age, that's really easy to create like a bot or something similar. So they just need to verify that they're a human and provide an email address that we can verify that, and then they can vote as well. So you can get your friends and family to vote if you wish, and you can vote for both Max and Maxine. Now remember that the public vote is a little bit different to our main voting competition. So if you maybe didn't get in the top 50 in the public vote, that doesn't mean that you missed out on the top 50 in the main competition. And the same way, if you got the most votes in the public vote, doesn't mean that you won the challenge and the other way around. So public vote, very different to our main competition, but it's a great time and a great way to see all the amazing results that people have been able to achieve over these past 6 weeks.
Definitely.
And the final important date is our awards night. So our awards night is live streamed to our Facebook support group, and that will be on the 22nd of October, kicking off at 7:30 p.m. Melbourne time. Now, Nick, being in Melbourne, we just experienced daylight savings where we jump forward an hour. So if you are not in Melbourne and not within daylight savings changes, make sure you just double check the time zone, especially if you wanted to tune in live to the awards night on the 22nd of October.
Yes, definitely.
We all love daylight savings where we lose that hour of sleep. It's great.
You can chat about that later.
All right. And Nick, finally, registrations for our next challenge, which will be our November challenge kicking off on the 1st of November, is open now. So you can sign up for our next 6 week challenge, which kicks off on the 1st of November. And we have the prep weekend starting the weekend prior, which is the 27th of November, 27th of October. That's the one. And you have that weekend to prepare for the challenge that kicks off on the 1st of November. And look, if you sign up by the 18th of October, you'll be able to score an early bird offer, which you'll get $10 off. So if you're a return challenger and you score the early bird offer, that'll be $40 for a challenge. So pretty cool. $40 for 6 weeks of training, nutrition, coaching, and everything in between. Pretty good deal. Plus you get access to the challenge and all the other fun stuff that we have. So make sure you sign up for the November challenge. It's going to be a fun one like always. And it'll be great to see what we can achieve leading up into summer. Many states around the country are kind of defrosting from COVID, you know, Melbourne potentially coming out of lockdown, Sydney potentially coming out of lockdown. So we can lose those COVID kilos. We can get ready for summer and get prepared for the new year, 2022.
Yes, bring it on.
Thinking about 2022, Nick, did you know on the 22nd of February, right, at 2:22, the date will be 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And hopefully, I think it falls on a Tuesday too, so we can call it Tuesday.
Oh, that's perfect. But you know what? That reminds me of the song, you know, 2-2-2-2-2-2-2. I got an answer machine that will talk to you. You know that one? Hey, how you doing?
Maybe a bit before my time, Nick.
Oh my gosh, we'll have to look it up. I'm sure people will appreciate that.
There you go, Tuesday. We'll have to celebrate on February 22nd. All right. Well, look, finally here, as we reach the end of our 6 week challenge here. It's a great time to think about and reflect on your journey over the past 6 weeks. So some questions to ask yourself, and it's a reflective process, and I do it frequently. Nick, you do it frequently. Ask yourself some of these questions so that we can find ways to improve and reflect and move forward. Okay, so the first one is, what did you do well? So if you're completing the challenge and you're scratching your head and you go, oh, well, what did I really do well? Maybe it's time to think about it. Okay, what did you do well? Did you nail your meal prep? Did you get up every morning and walk around the block? Did you train every single day, or did you train 50% of the time? And that's okay, because that's a win as well. So we're always trying to find things that we did well. And then conversely, we want to find things that we can improve on. So you can ask yourself, what could I improve on? And I think all of us can find something to improve on. Like, none of us are perfect. Like, I'm not perfect. Nick, you're not perfect. Like, we can all find ways to improve our fitness journey, and that constant improvement can pay dividends over time. The next one to think about is, what have I learned? So within the challenge, we can learn a range of things. We can learn, you know, really formal things like, what is a calorie? What is a protein? What is a bench press? And then we could also learn kind of personal and informal things like, oh, wow, I can really do something if I put my mind to it, or I didn't believe that that was possible, but I can do 10 push-ups or a chin-up or whatever it is. So think about, what things have you learned over the past 6 weeks? And then finally, a little bit of a reflective question where you start to think about, if someone came to you asking for advice, what would you tell them? So what advice would you give someone who's new to fitness? And this could be a way to kind of speak to yourself if you were a beginner and say, okay, well, if I was speaking to someone who was brand new to fitness, what things would I tell them? Would I tell them 100 different things, or would I, you know, limit it down to maybe one or two things and say, hey, probably the most important things is to, one, be organized, be prepared, do your meal prep. And then number two, you know, get some really comfortable shoes because you're going to be walking, right? So whatever advice would give that person, it's a great way to reflect so that you can find ways to improve, and also ways to kind of, you know, simplify the fitness process. Because sometimes we like to overcomplicate things and think about, you know, thousands of things that are potentially going on. But over time, you know, we do kind of simplify it down to just a few key things where it might be, yeah, just be organized, you know, set an alarm, get up in the morning, go for a walk, and, you know, find time to go train every single day, whatever it is. And if you limit it down to just those three things, you know, fitness becomes easy and becomes just part of life, where sometimes when we start that fitness journey, we can catastrophize it and say, whoa, Jesus, you know, a million things going on. It's too much for me.
Yeah. And I think sometimes also we can try and find excuses and blame one element and go, if it wasn't for that piece of chicken, I would have won. And it's like, there's just so many other factors that go into it. So yeah, you just don't want to be stuck on one thing. You don't want to blame a piece of chicken.
That poor chicken.
Yeah. It didn't do anything.
It didn't do anything. It's just being a chicken. Just actually, okay, here's a question. You know how like a bird will go, whoo, and you're like, okay, a bird's like hooing, or a duck is quacking, right? Or a dog is barking, or a cat is meowing. You know when a chicken makes the chicken sounds? What is a chicken doing?
I thought it cooed.
A chicken coo?
Don't they coo? Like, coo. Someone will be able to tell us.
Yeah, like what? So if you were like, let's say, walking past a pen of chickens, and they were just, you know, making the chicken sounds, and then going like, hoo, hoo, whatever the chicken sound is.
Yeah, I think it's a coo, and I think that's why it's called a chicken coop, because they coo in their coop.
They coo in their coop. Yeah, yeah. So like, if you were describing it to somebody, and you're like, oh yeah, I was walking past the chicken hen, and the chickens were all, what word cooing. Would you use? Cooing. All the chickens were cooing.
I could be wrong, but yeah, that they might, they do coo. They coo. I think. And yeah, okay. Yeah, but the rooster is very loud. He cock-a-doodles stews.
The cock-a-doodle. Yeah, they're all starting a little coo or a coop, and they're trying to break out to fight tyranny, I reckon.
I'm sure someone is going to be able to tell us this. So
please
if
tell
you're
us.
Listening, please.
What sound does a chicken make?
Just chicken emoji and what sound it makes, please.
All right, Nick, look, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, hashtag NSV. So I believe you found a couple this week, Nick.
Yes. So shout out to Dell Patterson. Dell Patterson's a very regular person posting on both Instagram and on our Facebook. She inspires many. She trains from home, which is fantastic as well. So She is saying with her non-scale victory that she rejoined the gym 5 months ago after a massive 9-year break. So that's good, you know, getting back into that routine. So she was carrying a few injuries, so back injury, hip flexors, and she couldn't really train the most basic exercises without being in a bit of pain. And sometimes that's a bit of a deterrent for people, and they may actually not train the areas that probably need to be trained, as you would know. And so 5 months ago, Dell couldn't do any of the exercises that she spoke about without causing a flare-up. So what they included, a dumbbell rear foot elevated split squat, a side-lying hip abduction. And so what Dell did was she just kept going and regressed the exercise and basically built herself up to now being able to do all of those things without pain. So what a non-scale victory. That's fantastic. So Dell says, remember, there's so much more to progress than the number you see on the scales. So that's massive for Dell.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I hear that story all the time where someone would be experiencing pain, back pain, knee pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, whatever it is. And often the response is, oh, well, I guess fitness isn't for me, or I want to sit on the couch. I want to, you know, just chill out and do nothing. Where sometimes the best thing for them is to regress the exercises, make it easy, even if it is the really basic stuff, some body weight squats or sit down on a chair and stand back up, you know, build yourself back up to make yourself robust. And the next thing you know, you're doing squats and deadlifts and lunges and all the fun things, and you strengthen your body again. So I love that, Dell. You know, you're a real role model to anyone who is experiencing those aches and pains in the gym.
Thanks, Dell. You faced the fear and you did it anyway. Well done.
That's awesome.
So our next one that I found is from our friend Lisa Casey. She says she's pretty happy with her non-scale victory. She's taken a step back. So she says, I've taken a step back and I'm maintaining this round in order to focus on my master's degree, which I'm completing in addition to my full-time military career. High distinction result today for my simulation applications assignment 2. How good is that? So she's still there. That's where maintenance can come in, where you've got other things going on in your life, and you still obviously want to live the fitness lifestyle, but you just want to stay where you are for a while, continue that on, and focus on other elements. And obviously Lisa's a busy, busy woman. So well done, Lisa. Very good. Next one we've got is Jodie Clark. So Jodie Clark is a newbie. My first ever challenge and my first ever Flex Friday. So she sort of combined the two, which people do. It's very sneaky. They combine the hashtags. I like it though. I'm loving every single part of this challenge. I weighed myself after 3 weeks and I didn't like the number. So I haven't weighed myself since because I'm keen to look at different things. I did 20 kilo goblet squats today and I'm so proud of how strong I feel. I'm so keen for the next 6-week challenge.
Awesome. Good on you, Jodie.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Go, Jodie.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Congratulations, Jodie. I've got a couple this week. I found one from Jeremy Brower, and he says that he had a cool NSV today with my cardio. He's been doing the Lion workout. So you can find the Lion workout on programs such as Lean and Ripped and Tone and Shape, where it's our HIIT cardio session on the cardio planner on the template. So he's been doing the Lion workout. And he says, the victory is I've nearly halved my time to complete the whole thing from 13 and a half minutes down to basically 7.5 minutes. So I think that's really awesome. Congratulations to Jeremy. And it shows that he's improving his fitness where he's repeated a similar workout and now he's, halved his time. So congratulations to Jeremy.
Very good.
The next one here goes to Bridget McGrath, and her NSV is that she's reached over 10,000 steps every day for the month of September, or Step-tember. Ooh, congratulations September. To Bridget, over 10,000 steps every single day. That's awesome to see.
Good on you.
And then finally here, we've got Eden Fraser, and she writes, I'm feeling extra amazing today. Really feeling myself in my new skin, enjoying the end of the challenge a lot. Definitely going to keep up as much as I can with being healthy and working out. I realized it's really not about the number on the scales, but the confidence getting stronger gives. And I think you've nailed it there, Eden, where, you know, often we join the challenge because we want to, you know, lose some body fat. We want to look good naked. We want to be, fit and healthy and these things. But what the results that gives us the biggest change in our quality of life is the change in our confidence levels. Like the confidence you have by being strong is just unmatched to anything else that I see. And, you know, I've trained a number of people in my time as a fitness professional, and that's the biggest change. You know, we help someone get a six pack, that doesn't matter. You know, I feel confident. That's what's important. I help someone to be able to squat twice their body weight, that doesn't matter. I feel confident that I'm strong now. Like confidence is what fitness is all about. So congratulations, Eden, that you've seen that now. That's awesome.
Go Eden.
Nick, let's move into our coach's corner where we are offering our tips for the week. Nick, would you like to take us off?
I would like to talk today about growing your glutes and I guess the best exercises. But let me just say first up that we have a booty builder program as well. So that is the best exercise. Just open that template up and give that a good old crack. Okay, so first up, if you want to grow something, there's no point in being in a calorie deficit. So, I mean, you can still create shape, I suppose, because you'll be removing the fat. But if you want to grow a muscle, you're going to have to spend some time actually eating. Glutes are quite big. They require some fuel. So that's just my first little caveat, just to say that. The other thing I must say is spend some time under the barbell doing those squats. Make sure that you get full range of motion. So if you're just learning to squat, learn how to squat well from the start. So then you're not missing anything and then you don't have to go back and redevelop. So that would be something that I would say. And also I like personally deadlifts, so do you, but deadlifts are fantastic. Now, so let's just get that out of the way. Accessory exercises for building the glutes. I personally am actually sitting in my shed right now on my hip thrust machine. I've got a glute machine, glute drive. All it really is just a little bit where you put your back on it. You can use a bench at home or anything like that. And then you put your barbell and you basically thrust up and down. Now, I have discovered, even though you can go super heavy on those, there's no real need. You can actually, if you use about probably 50% of the maximum that you can push, but then concentrate on that real time under tension and the real squeeze at the top, I find that to be fantastic. And I've popped that into, I actually do it at the moment, Coach Steve. I do it probably about four times a week because next time I step on stage, people are going to say, I did not know the moon was full today. Anyway, split squats is another one. So they're fantastic. I like anything unilateral because, you really, really have to, if you're putting all your body weight on one leg, something's got to grow. So I like split squats and I like hip thrusts, and glute bridges are okay as well. I don't love them as much because you can't sort of, they're a little bit scary for loading up weight because you really have to, you do it straight off the floor. So I don't mind single leg unilateral ones of those as well. So they're my go-tos for growing your glutes. And also glutes can take quite a bit. So train them a few times a week as well. But when you're doing your other exercises, if you do them well, full range of motion, your glutes will be involved.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm really interested to see like the rise of the glutes. Okay, so yep. If you kind of take yourself back, maybe before my time in the fitness industry, it was all about aerobics classes and having the flat bottom and those things. And then now, I guess maybe over the past 5-10 years, there's been a real rise in female strength and, you know, getting strong and robust as a female. And then now, you know, a really big rise in growing glutes. And all I would have to say is that firstly, the glutes are just like any other muscle in the body, and we would train them the same way we would train any other muscle. We're focusing on progressive overload. We need to get stronger with that muscle and take it through its range of motion. If you want to grow your glutes, a really wise thing to do is to spend some time and learn the anatomy of it, where you go, okay, well, the glutes, what are they? Okay, there's quite a few muscles in the glutes. What one am I trying to target? Which one would be the best one to spend my time training? And we look at something like the glute max, arguably the biggest and thickest muscle in the body. We go, okay, well, if we can train the glute max, it's going to make my glutes and hips look much bigger than if I spend time trying to train my glute medius, which is much smaller muscle, or the glute minimus, tiny muscle, you barely see it. So we need to think about, okay, well, how can I load up this muscle? I think for someone like me, I don't spend a lot of time directly targeting my glutes, but I think that's part of the way I train at the moment, where I'm not really training to focus on a muscle group specifically. I'm training to focus on a movement pattern. So, you know, that's where you and I, Nick, our kind of training slightly is delineated, where I'm kind of focusing on maybe getting stronger and training my body through ranges of motion, where, okay, I'll probably train my glutes when I'm doing deadlifts and squats and lunges and all the exercises you suggested, but I'm focusing on getting stronger through that motion, where you're focusing on trying to build that muscle. Lots of crossover in that Venn diagram, but slightly differently.
Yeah, definitely. I personally, I think I, with my getting stronger phase, which I did, I mean, obviously I always want to get stronger, but when I was younger, I did that, and I didn't actually, I was able to lift a lot with my lower back and things, which is not good, but my erectors got absolutely jacked. And probably my glutes were not as developed. So I'm kind of going back and reworking everything, you know, just like a scratch build again, you know, just with my new knowledge and things. Because, I know that some of my techniques and ways of yanking things up were not good. And so certain areas, just for stage and stuff, they just became overdeveloped and others were underdeveloped. So I'm refining now.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to reflect, right? Like, what way can we improve? But yeah, glutes, they're really glutes to train. Glutes to train. And I think all of us, guys, girls, and everyone in between, can spend a little bit more time strengthening your glutes or your hips in general, because that is kind of where we develop power when we are doing big movements like squats, deadlifts, bench press, even overhead press. Like, that's where, you know, our power drive comes from. Look, Nick, I would like to talk a little bit about my personal experience over the past 3 weeks and my experience with sleep loss. Okay. I was going to call it sleep deprivation, but I wouldn't go as far to say, you know, I'm deprived of sleep. I think, you know, words are very powerful. And if I was to say that, you know, I was sleep deprived, that probably would put me into a certain mindset and a certain lens that, oh, geez, I am really sleep deprived. I'm so tired. But, you know, I'm losing a little bit of sleep. And this is mainly due to my newborn. So little baby George is 3 weeks old now. He's going to be asking to drive soon. So growing up fast. So 3 weeks old. And if you are a parent out there, Nick, I know you are, you probably know exactly what I'm going through over this kind of period, where, you know, he's going kind of through the awakening phase, where he is, you know, all he did was just sleep, and we had to kind of like poke him to make sure that he was alive. But then now he's awake during the day and doing baby things, and then tries to be awake during the night and does baby things. So, you know, I am losing a little bit of sleep there, but that's okay. So I want to speak a little bit about what I've experienced over the past couple of weeks and how it relates to your fitness journey and how losing sleep can negatively impact your ability to transform your body. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I've noticed a lot is that my hunger has increased like crazy, Nick. I have just been so ravenous, like strong language, ravenous, hungry, insatiable. Like, I would start eating and I like have to tell myself to stop eating because I'm so hungry. The other day I was in the supermarket and for the first time I walked down the chips aisle. I don't walk down the chips aisle. I never go to that area. I don't crave that. But I was like craving salt and vinegar chips. Okay. And I was like, what have I become? And right. Cause I'm just so tired. I'm just craving these foods. And I'm like walking down the chocolate aisle now. I'm like, oh geez. So like, first thing I would say is that my hunger has increased dramatically. And then my satiety has, decreased, where I would start, you know, having dinner and, you know, I'm two bowls in and I'm like thinking about the third bowl and, you know, that's a problem. Okay. And you may be relating to this, where if you have poor quality sleep, no matter how much of a, you know, ironclad steel person you are, where you might have the discipline of a military veteran or whatever, you know, you will succumb to hunger and it will be a matter of time before that tipping point is achieved where you go, okay, well, I'm going to give in and buy those chips and have the whole salt and vinegar chips in the car park before I go home, before nobody sees me eat it, right? Okay, that didn't happen, but I know that if things continue, that's what's going to happen, because I'm not some superhuman. I'm just like you, where if I'm continually faced with that, I'm gonna give in. So if you are losing sleep, you probably find that you're really hungry, and then you probably find that your body composition isn't moving in the direction that you want it to. Okay.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true.
The next one is what I'm experiencing is a lot more aches and pains. Okay, a lot more aches and pains similar to DOMS. So, you know, you can kind of point the finger at recovery, right? So, you know, after my training sessions, because I'm still training, it's still an important part of my day-to-day activities. I'm training, but what I'm finding is the next day, I'm quite sore. You know, I've got sore quads, I've got sore glutes, you know, my pecs are sore, my triceps are sore, then, you know, certain joints are aching too. Like my knees are aching, my hips are aching, my back's aching. And these are new things for me. But what I'm finding is that's slowly negatively impacting my next bout of training, because I am feeling that kind of aches and pains and like body tiredness from that. So again, if you are having poor quality sleep, you are probably not training to your best ability, because you're just experiencing those aches and pains, okay? You're experiencing those DOMS, that muscle soreness. So, you know, the next time I go to lift something heavy, I'm not training at 100%. I might be training at 90%, but that 10% is important chronically, because I'm not training to my full ability, okay? And the final thing that I'm noticing is a really rapid decrease of intra-set performance. Okay, so what that means is that when I go to train, my very first set that I do is of a good capacity. You know, I'm able to train at what my normal loads were, but then I'm facing this really rapid decrease where, so set one, I might be able to get 10 reps, but then set two, it's 6 reps, and then set three, I struggle at 3 reps. A really massive, steep decline in my performance. And then when I get to exercise 2, 3, and 4, it's a whitewash. So basically, at the moment, when I go to train, I've got maybe 2 or 3 good sets in me, and then the rest is like, I'm just gassed, okay? So the main takeaway is, and you know, Nick, you and I have spoken about sleep many times, is that if you want to transform your body, if you want to get strong, if you want to build muscle, if you want to get fit, we need to prioritize our sleep. I completely understand and empathize and sympathize with anybody who is losing sleep for factors that they can't control. So for example, me, newborn, I can't make big changes in that. You may have young kids, you may have sick kids, you may have pets who are going through tough times, you may have work stresses where you're up late, whatever it is, and that's okay. You know, we understand that sometimes we can't control all these factors, but we need to understand that if we are losing sleep, it does negatively impact the rest of our kind of goals that we want to achieve, especially in the fitness realm. Okay, sleep, really important. And I just want to share with you my experiences with it, because I now understand where every parent who has ever come to me and said, I'm struggling, I understand now, I get it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've shared that with us. I'm sure that this is actually probably going to become quite a popular podcast, because people really love to hear about other people not sleeping well. It's really a thing. Yeah, you can spend a long time discussing with old people and young people about lack of sleep, and it's just a common topic. I know that if I'm struggling for something to talk to my dad about, I'll definitely ask about his sleep, and then we're off and running.
Yeah.
But definitely see if you can order your shopping online, because then that stops going down, I know, that, right.
Chip that chip aisle. Yeah. And look, I like, the main takeaway is that for many of us, you know, sleep can be something that we can control. So if you find yourself that you're up, you know, scrolling on Instagram at 2 a.m, put your phone away, go to sleep. If you find that you're up watching the latest episode on Netflix at, you know, 3 a.m, turn off your TV, go to sleep. If you find that you're training at midnight because, you know, you've been like chilling out all day, and then you're so excited from training that you're not getting to sleep at like 4 a.m, and then you're trying to be up early in the morning the next day, maybe train earlier in the day and get some sleep. So sometimes, you know, we really can change things that we get better sleep, and sometimes we can't. Prioritize your sleep, you'll get better results.
Yes, definitely, and appreciate it.
Yep. Look, Nick, let's move on to some questions here. So the first question is a question that came out of our forum, and the question goes that this individual was trying to plan their next phase in their training, and they weren't completely sure about where to go. So they've explained that they've been losing weight over the past 12 weeks and they've lost about 30 kilos. So congratulations to this individual. Their primary goal now is to get stronger, and they're currently doing the Get Strong program, which is cool. They're doing Get Strong. Their goal is to get stronger. Awesome. And they still want to lose a little bit of body fat moving forward. And they asked us, they're thinking about going into a maintenance phase next or a surplus phase to build muscle and then potentially shred afterwards. So the option is, do they go into a maintenance phase or do they go into a building phase and then a shred after that? And they're just wondering what our thoughts were on there. So to super summary, this individual lost a lot of weight over the past 12 weeks, now at a phase where they may be feeling a bit comfortable with the way they're looking, still want to lose a little bit more body fat, and they're asking, should I maintain or should I build afterwards? Nick, what advice would you give this person?
Yeah, so it was 12 months, actually, 12 months. So that's a long time to be in a calorie deficit, but 30 kilo lost. Now, you and I had a very similar response in the forum about this, and I think it's good that we did, because we were thinking holistically about her mindset as well. Because as coaches, you can say, oh, well, it's time to come out of that deficit and build. But both of us decided that it being around the festive season and around summer, that she should actually probably continue to just lose that last little bit that she wants to. She said that she wants to do that. So that would be in the front of her mind no matter what she was doing. So with a build phase, that takes dedication the other way. And we've got to give her body a chance to actually sit at its new weight for a little while, and for her mind to catch up and for her to enjoy that time. So also just to finish off what she started. So she's got that last little bit. So we both suggested just to continue on with that until she reaches where she wants to be, and then start a build phase. And that would be after the next, say, 6 weeks. So one more challenge of just losing that body fat. If she wanted to come to maintenance in between, that's great. She'd have to calculate her new maintenance. But just finish what you started. It's a really optimal place to then build from when you are reasonably lean, because then you can actually get the benefits of that build. So that's what I would suggest for anyone. It's very tempting to go, well, where do I start the build? And really, you do want to be reasonably lean to start that build if you can, because then you won't worry as much about putting on. Because, you know, if you're worried about the scales and you've obviously been looking at them going down, it just takes a little bit of a shift.
Yeah, I like that. The response I actually gave her on the forum was actually slightly a little bit different, Nick. Maybe this is where you and I slightly disagree. That's okay, totally fine. Like my advice would be for her to move into like a maintenance phase. If she's really truly been in a calorie deficit for, you know, 12 months truly, and she's truly lost 30 kilos, you know, there is probably quite a bit of metabolic adaptation that's occurred, and she's probably at a time right now where she's not seeing a lot of weight loss, mainly because, you know, quote, metabolism's gone down, end quote, or, you know, there is that metabolic adaptation. So my advice for her would actually be to move in a maintenance phase where she's kind of staying at the similar weight, where she's not, you know, changing her body weight too much. Her calories might have to increase slightly from that energy deficit to like an isocaloric intake where her calories are matched. And that can give her body some time just to normalize, where, you know, her kind of metabolism increases slightly, where her energy expenditure increases slightly. She can just enjoy life again, where, okay, festive season, you know, Christmas time, hey, you can have that roast and the pudding on the side, and, you know, you can go to the beach and be happy the way that you're looking with that kind of maintenance phase. Then from there, if she wanted to transition into a building phase, that's great, because we've kind of normalized our body. Building is really tough, Nick. You know that. I know that. And it is a really big mindset shift from being in that position where we're trying to increase the scales now. Oh, geez, that's a big shift if you've been spending the 12 months trying to decrease the scales. So that can cause a lot of emotional stress for us. So that could be, need some time to adjust to. Or she may choose that after, you know, the festive season and the next 6 weeks, she may choose after this maintenance phase to then proceed into another weight loss phase to lose those last couple of kilos. But, you know, I think this is a clear example where I don't know if there's a clear right or wrong. And that goes by our two different responses to that.
Yeah, definitely. I thought we had the same, but it's similar in terms of it being holistic. So
that's right.
Through the past and what she's gone through. And I might be a little bit nastier because I'm like, you stay in that deficit.
just tough it out, you're gonna get there. I hear you.
Yeah, so either way, those two are both interesting responses. Neither of us have said go into the build phase yet though.
No, I don't think it's wise to kind of like bounce, as in if you've been in an energy deficit for a really long time, let's say true energy deficit for 6 months, it's not wise to kind of like bounce at the bottom and then go into an energy surplus. It would be wiser to stay at a maintenance for 6 to even 18 weeks. It's probably wisest to stay there before we take off again. So just be cautious of that really big bounce, because just like a trampoline, you can bounce down and bounce up again, meaning that if your weight's coming down to, I don't know, 60 kilos and you decide, I'm going to do maintenance, bang, you know, there's another 10 kilos taking off. Okay, so just be cautious of that.
And some good things can happen at maintenance as well. That's good too.
They can. Okay, next question here was, why is there an individualized calorie plan? Okay, and I think this individual was a little bit cautious where they've done the challenge in the past where there was one blanket plan for everyone, one, you know, cookie cutter plan for everybody. And they were confused as to why is there an individualized plan and kind of implying like, you know, why is it important to have something like that? The main takeaway is that, you know, each individual is different. And we've known that for a long time. We've just struggled to create the right medium to communicate that, where, you know, let's say like myself, I'm like, you know, 6 foot and about 100 kilos. My nutritional intake is going to be quite different to another guy out there who might be 6 foot, but then maybe 70 kilos, versus another guy who might be 5 foot and 120 kilos. And they, require very different energy intakes. And then, you know, if we consider other psychosocial factors, or the other biological factors, such as, you know, your age, throw that in there, your overall muscle mass, throw that in there as well, your overall physical activity level, throw that in there as well, and then your goal as well, throw that in there as well. You know, we all require a different energy intake. And it can get tricky because if we gave everybody the exact same calorie intake, you know, some individuals might get some really great results. Some individuals might be scratching their head for a while. And then those individuals who are scratching their head going, nothing's really happening, they would need to make more decisions about, okay, do I decrease my calories now? Do I decrease them next week? Is it too high? Is it too low? So we've kind of taken the guesswork out of that by creating a template which can give you customized calories. Now, remember that whatever your starting point is, it doesn't mean the end point. So just because a calculation that you found online or the calculation used on our template decided to give you, you know, 1,836 calories, you know, that isn't set in stone. Like that is a kind of a dynamic number and that can change by your physical activity on that specific day. So let's say a Monday, everyone's back at work, you do 5,000 steps, awesome. But then over the weekend, you did 20,000 steps because you went on a hike. You know, those 2 days are going to require different energy intakes. So we do need to understand that it's a very dynamic number that can kind of change depending on different factors throughout the week. And, you know, one factor, example, like what I said in Coach's Corner, like your sleep. If you're having poor quality sleep, you're not training as hard, you're not moving as much. That can change our overall energy expenditure and that can kind of make that number really dynamic. So it's tricky, but it's all part of the process of this fitness journey where we need to find this balance of calorie intake, manipulate it slightly so that we can continue to be in an energy deficit. And we can measure that by our scale weight, make sure our scale weight's decreasing. And if it's not, think about decreasing your energy intake.
Yeah, and I think the goal would ultimately be to empower people to have that data, their own data, because everybody is different. And that's our goal, to empower everybody with that knowledge.
Yeah, no, I agree. Nick, this next question here, I think it was posted on our Facebook support group, and it writes, I'm just curious if the next 6 week challenge will be the same as this one we're currently doing, as in, is it the same workouts and the same nutrition? So Nick, what would you tell this person?
Well, I would like to say that it's going to have minor changes. We always make little updates, especially reflecting on what we think went well. You know, we do the same. We ask ourselves the same questions as we invited you guys to ask. So there'll be some minor changes, some different exercises and sequencing, and different nutrition, just in terms of what we're offering, and then potentially some new programs that we have got in the pipeline at the moment. We cannot reveal yet those programs, but stay tuned. So there's always a little bit of difference and always a lot of the same stuff as well, because we know it works.
And then finally here, a question that came in on the podcast questions. So if you have a question for us, you can find the link in the show notes and you can ask us a question, we can answer. And this individual says that they had a hard time or found it really difficult doing burpees and jump squats. What alternative can they do? Okay. So first thing I'd say is that I'm probably like many people out there. I hate burpees. Yeah. Nick, I don't know if you like burpees.
Not really.
No. And
I'll do them, but they're not my faves.
No. And you'll probably find that reflected in the training programs. It's not an exercise that we commonly prescribe. Maybe in like a cardio sense, because it's a great way to get your heart rate up, but really great for a workout, not great for a training session. So you probably won't find many burpees in training sessions. And similar with jump squats. They can have their place in some programs, but you know, they're very rare to find jump squats in training programs, okay? And the main takeaway is that, you know, training, we want to find an exercise that we can repeat over time and then progress. And if we're doing a really complicated exercise like a burpee or a jump squat, it's really difficult to kind of progress that. What do you do more? What happens when your cardio is the limiting factor? How do you kind of build muscle over time? Okay, so they're just questions that we need to consider. What alternative could you do? Well, you could just remove the plyo element of it. So plyometric, meaning like a jump, right? You can just remove that element. So instead of a jump squat, just do a squat. Or a squat to a heel lift. So you're kind of going through a jump motion, but you're not really getting that, you know, lift off and impact. And similar with a burpee. So you can do maybe a deconstructed burpee where you could maybe just do like a push-up, a squat. And, you know, you get down and stand up in between. So it's not really a burpee, but you just deconstructed burpee. Or you could just do, you know, like a get down and get back up. So, you know, get down on the floor anyway you need to, and then stand back up anyway you need to. So there are options you could do, but I think that with every exercise, you can just regress it. So let's say a burpee, you could do really, really slow burpees and still do burpees, okay? So in the course of a minute, if you did one burpee, I'm sure many people, no matter their fitness level, could get down on the floor and stand back up. Heck, even in the clinic, we have like older population tests where it's called a sit to stand, where we ask someone to sit down and stand back up, and this is an older geriatrics patient. And they can do that usually within, you know, 10 seconds. So I think everyone has the ability to get onto the floor and then to stand back up. And if you do that quickly, I don't know, we call it a burpee. And if you do it slowly, well, it's still a burpee because you're getting down, stand back up. So we can always regress an exercise to our fitness level, even if it is down to the super basic level. But the main takeaway for this individual is, I would say, just to remove the plyo elements. Then also to question, okay, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to increase your cardiovascular fitness? Okay, maybe there's other exercises we could do. If you're trying to increase your strength and build some muscle, all right, there's much better exercises to do that than trying to do burpees and jump squats, okay?
Yeah. So if I prescribe that in any of my classes and people don't want to do it, it's really just a way to get your heart rate up. So you can even just jog on the spot with your high knees, anything that just for 1 minute makes you just a little bit puffed out. That's the real only purpose of that. You don't want to make it your mission to get super good at burpees. In fact, you're probably not meant to be that good at them, because the more taxing they feel, I guess that's the whole point of them. So, you know, they're a bit torturous. I wouldn't hang out in Burpee Town very long.
No. And look, if you were trying to increase your like cardio level, like try to get the heart rate going, I think what you said, Nick, jogging on the spot is a good one. Like high knees, really great one. I also think something like maybe a star jump could be okay, you know, jumping out to the side, or even just like a deconstructed side jump where it's just like a sidestep, you swing your arms and then sidestep back in. So you're not really jumping, you're just stepping out and in, okay?
Yeah, just a bit of dancing. We do that sometimes in the
kind of like a nut bush or something like that.
Yeah, you know, nut bush, anything that just makes you, you know, just get that heart rate up and have a little bit of fun as well. So for some people, burpees are fun and others they're not.
And, you know, I completely understand if, you know, jumping is something that makes you anxious. And I know many people have ankle, knee, hip, lower back pain, and jumping, oh geez, that sounds like a nightmare, just that impact. I do think that many individuals find that painful is because it's something they don't do. So if you have been avoiding doing burpees and jump squats for your entire life, of course it's going to be sore doing it for the first time because you haven't experienced impact for a really long time. If you were someone who did lots of running and you learned how to absorb impact through your body and your legs and you had some muscle to absorb that and you had some good bone mineral density to absorb that impact, yeah, you'd probably be like, yeah, jump squats, piece of cake. You know, I've trained my body to do that. So think about that as well, being like, okay, if it is really sore, really painful, makes you really anxious, maybe it's something that we need to spend some time doing and actually practice jumping and landing a little bit so that, you know, make you more robust for life, because you can't avoid jumping for your entire life. There might be an instance where you need to jump either consciously or unconsciously, as in, you know, either you might fall and be jumping and you'd probably hope that you want to be able to impact and land so you don't break your hip, or, you know, you do it consciously where you choose to jump onto something. So yeah, don't forget that side of fitness still exists where you need to learn how to impact yourself.
Yeah. And you want to land like a ninja.
Land like a ninja or like a cat.
Yeah, ninja cat.
Ninja cat. All right, Nick, look, let's wrap it up there for episode number 37 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you check out the 36 other episodes. And yeah, let us know what sound a chicken makes. And if you like this episode, you know, share it with a friend. Let us know that you're listening, and we'll catch you next week for episode number 38.
Thanks for listening, everyone.